If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 16. I saw the title of a book years ago, and it was interesting. It was entitled, The Gospel According to Isaiah. I'll tell you, if you read the book of Isaiah, Isaiah does a good job with the gospel. He does a good job presenting Jesus. Not only as a babe, but as a father, as a counselor, as the mighty God. Amen. He does a great job. But today, the burden of my heart is found in chapter 16 of Isaiah. If you found your place, please stand with me. For the sake of time, I'm just going to read one verse, and then we'll be kind of traveling through the chapter a little bit. I'm going to read verse 10. The Bible said, and gladness is taken away, and joy out of the plentiful field. And in the vineyards there shall be no singing, neither shall there be shouting. The treaders shall tread out no wine in their presses. I have made their vintage shouting to cease. I'm going to read it again. And gladness is taken away, and joy out of the plentiful field. And in the vineyards there shall be no singing, neither shall there be shouting. The treaders shall tread out no wine in their presses, and have made their vintage shouting to cease. You can be seated. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to pray. Lord, we know what it costs that we might have access into the holiest of all. We no longer have to go through a priest down here, but we have one that is sitting at the right hand of God the Father to make intercession for us. And Lord, we praise you this morning for He, the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, this morning that you would help us, Lord, to convey the message as you've put it in our heart. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us and help us together today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. There's not a doubt in my mind this morning that I'm speaking to some who used to have gladness in your field. You used to have joy in your field. It used to be a fruitful field for the glory of God, but things have dried up. We're talking today about Moab, and God wants us to understand how that we can get gladness restored where sadness has been. Jesus said, when he told his disciples, he said, for now you're going to be sorrowful, but he said, you're going to have joy. Amen. There's joy coming in the morning. Amen. And today, God wants us to look at some things in this chapter. The Bible said in verse number 1, I'm just laying a little bit of groundwork, send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land. This is a time in the land of Moab where they had forgotten Jerusalem. They had forgotten the sacrifice. Can I tell you, one of the first steps in backsliding is forgetting what it cost that you might be a child of God. Getting away from the cross. Amen. I sent a man a text years ago and he got mad at me for sending it to him. But I sent him a text and I said, I am just one branch in your tree of bitterness. He's mad at this one and mad at that one and bitter at this one and bitter at that one. And I told that man, I said, if you would just get to the root and take that root to the foot of Calvary's cross, God would help you to uproot that bitterness in your life. And God would give you that joy back in your life. And here we are in Moab. And the women of Moab, they're anticipating something. They're anticipating the coming of the king. And the Bible said here, they were as a wandering bird thrown out of the nest. It's a picture of their helpless, confused state under the hand of God's judgment. You say, Pastor, I don't understand how that would even relate to us. I've told you before and I'll tell you again, get ready. If America don't repent, if America don't turn from her sin, Honey, I'm telling you that God is no respecter of nations, and God is no respecter of persons. And beloved, we can be in this barren land just like Moab finds itself in. I have said this and I'll say it again. Before the coming of the King Jesus, our Lord, our Master, before He comes, beloved, we may need each other like we've never needed each other before. We may be borrowing a loaf of bread or a jar of peanut butter. But I tell you what, I believe the Bible when David said, I once was young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed a begging bread. I'm trying to paint you a picture today. Gladness is taken away, and joy out of the plentiful field. I'm telling you today, beloved, I'm talking to people right here in this room. It's been a long time since you got happy in the Lord. It's been a long time since you had that gladness in your heart that caused a tear to run down your cheek. It's been a long time since you just sat at the table and some tears run off in your plate because you realize you've got something good to eat. And there's people in this country eating out of trash cans and eating out of dumpsters. It's been a long time, beloved, since you opened the closet and looked in the closet and realized I've got something to wear. I've got shoes on my feet. I've got a bed to lay down in. The joy is dried up in the field. Amen. And the gladness is gone because, beloved, we've forgotten where the gifts come from. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above. Beloved, I didn't make it with these hands. I can't keep it with these hands. But I tell you what I can do. I can open my hands and He'll keep on giving me what I need. Amen. Because He's my Lord. He's my Master. Amen. And that makes me glad. Amen. In the field that God has put me in. What if, beloved, we would look at the Eastman when we're walking through the gate and look at it like, God, this is my field. This is where glory to God. What if we went down to the high school or down to the college and said, God, this is the field that You've put me in. Help me not to be griping. Help me not to be complaining. Help me, beloved, not to be criticizing, but help me to realize, God, there's people in my field on their way to hell without God. They need to see somebody with a little bit of joy in their heart. They need to see somebody with some gladness. They need to see somebody with a song on their lips. Amen. They need to see somebody that knows Christ as Savior. Amen. Oh, I saw you yesterday, or well, Friday. I came to church here years ago, 11 years ago. Mother's Day will be 11 years. The church voted me in as pastor. I know there's been some regrets on your part, but not on mine. Amen. I'll say this, beloved. I 2 years I tried to teach people, stop using that word, bother. Bother. I hate to bother you, Pastor. My phone will go off. And as somebody sent a text, I hate to bother you, Pastor. I don't mean to bother you, Pastor. And I tried to get that word out of their vocabulary. Well, I got me a reminder on Friday. Sawyer said Grandparents' Day. He made a little thing. And on one side it had things for Mamaw. Yeah, Mamaw's sweet. Mamaw's a good cooker. Hallelujah. I say, that's right, Sawyer. You got good sense, son. Amen. You know where your bread's buttered. Mamaw's gentle and Mamaw's patient. But over here, there's two things that stick out in my mind on Papaw's side. One, he said, he's my hunting buddy. Glory to God. But the other one was this. All he did, Brother Gary, was left out an R. I'm his bother in Christ. He left out one R and it changed the meaning. Amen. And so all that from years ago come flooding back in my mind. You see, the night when Sawyer got saved, I said, Sawyer, I said, now, son, you're not just my grandson. I said, but you're my brother in Christ. Well, glory to God, the youngin' ain't forgotten. Amen. I'm glad. Hallelujah. Listen, you can go in your field wherever God's planted you, and you don't have to be dried up. You can have some gladness about you. You can have some joy about you. Amen. In the field where God has placed you. What was the cause? Let me just give you a two-point message today. If you just got excited, you're visiting. But anyway,
I'm going to give you 2 points today. Amen. The first, what is the cause? What is it that caused this field to dry up and the gladness was taken away and joy out of the plentiful field? By the way, beloved, America has been a plentiful field. And by the way, I'm going to say this. You might not like it. That's one of our problems. We've got it too good. We've got it so good we don't need God. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, we're better off, amen, when the cupboards weren't full and the bank accounts weren't full. Say amen. And we needed one another and we needed God, amen. We were more apt to have revival meeting because the church meeting was just an overflow of what was going on in the community and what was going on in the homes. The cause, let me show you here real quickly. The Bible said in verse number 6, we have heard of the pride of Moab. Right there's the cause. You want gladness, beloved, to go out of your life, and you want joy to go out of your life, you just get proud. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Pride and God ain't going to camp in the same tent. Amen. One or the other is going to have to go. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we've got to where we're ashamed to witness. We're ashamed to share a gospel tract. We're ashamed to sing a song for Jesus. We're ashamed, amen, listen, of the things of God. And, beloved, a lot of it is because we're too proud. Amen. We're afraid of what this one's going to say or that one's going to say. I'm telling you, it'll be a happy day in the church's life when we fear God and let the rest of it go. Amen. And, beloved, understand that Moab is in the shape it's in because it was a land that was full of pride. I believe America's in the shape she's in because pride has crept in. Amen. Patriotism has went out and pride has crept in and we've gotten too big for our britches. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, we need God in America once again. We need God in our schools. You can't have the Bible in the school, but you can have it in the prison. You can't have preaching in the school, but you can have it in the prison. Why wait till they go to prison? Amen. Why not give them the gospel and give them some hope. Amen. While they're young, they need the Lord. Amen. The cause, they're not thinking right and they're not acting right. They're full of pride. The middle letter in pride is I. That's what it is. Now listen to me. I didn't know I was a baby. I was just a child when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. But he said something that I love. He's famous for what he said. Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. That is a tremendous statement. I don't care who made it. Amen. Now we've got over 50% of the people in America. All they're asking is, what can this country do for me? Amen. 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 Let me say this. You take out a student loan, you ought to pay it. You ought, in order, beloved, listen, get somebody else to pay it. You took it out, you ought to pay it. Amen. You say, Pastor, you're treading on dangerous ground. No, I'm just telling you, beloved, pride has crept in. And we think the country owes us something. And we think the church owes us something. And we think God owes us something. Honey, I owe him everything. He don't owe me a thing. He's already paid the debt I could not pay. Amen. Thank God the cause is not thinking right. Jeremiah 2 said, I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. I'll tell you, beloved, there's a lot going on in our country that's a flat-out abomination to God. He hates it, amen. And beloved, listen, it's not just the things you normally think about of being an abomination, but pride also. These 6 things doth the Lord God hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. The first one's a proud look, and the last one's he that soweth discord among the brethren. It's a dangerous thing, beloved, to mess with the church that Jesus bought with his own blood. Amen. I thank God today. Beloved, listen, the cause, not thinking right, not acting right, It's pride. The Word of God said the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. You want that plenty back in your field? Then you need to be careful how you think. But of everyone that is hasty, only to want. The cause, beloved, is seen in the fallen, and it's also seen in the field. Look at verse number 9, the latter part. O Heshbon, O Elala, for the shouting, for the summer fruits, and for thy harvest is fallen. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, God is saying to us today, we can have that gladness back in our field. But right now, you know who I'm talking to. I don't know. But I know this, I know the burden of the Lord. There are people sitting in this building today, that gladness has been gone for a long time. That joy has been gone for a long time. And beloved, you're going through the motions, amen. But you need, beloved, to get back close to Calvary and get back close to the Lord. You need that joy back. What's the cure, preacher? We looked at the cause. It was pride that caused Moab to enter into this condition that they're in. What is the cure? I believe with all of my heart, God is going to show us the cure. The cure, beloved, is found in compassion. Look in verse number 9, the first part of the verse. I will bewail with the weeping of Jazer and Sibmah. I will water thee with my tears. I believe the cure in that Christian's life starts out, beloved, with compassion, loving the things that God loves, hating the things that God hates, amen. And beloved, loving one another. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. I believe one of the problems is we need to repent. I believe for Moab, if you look down in verse number 13 and 14, this is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning Moab since that time. But now the Lord has spoken, saying, within 3 years, as the years of a hireling, the glory of Moab shall be contemned. It's too late for Moab. And beloved, I'll say this. You can get mad if you want to, but it may be too late for America. I don't know that. But I know this. God is still on the throne. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in this Bible, when a people repents, God will bless them. Amen. I'll show you in a moment why. Amen. That plentiful field is dried up. And beloved, we can get it back. We can see the cure. The Bible said to think on these things. I believe we need to be thinking about something different. Amen. I believe that we need to get our heart off of the field and get our heart back on the Father. You see, in the field, the vines had dried up. We need to get our heart off of the things of this world. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father's not in him. Revival's not going to come while we're loving the things of the world. Revival's going to come when we fall in love with the things of God and the God that's given us everything that we have. That's where revival's going to come from. Beloved, we need to see every good and perfect gift comes down. The field may be barren. Oh, glory to God. Don't you think about this? But the Father's still a blessing. Amen. There may not be any grapes on the vine, and they may be dried up. But beloved, you see, that's one of the keys in the Christian life. When you look to Him, amen, He never changes. Amen. Our circumstances change, and the things around us change, but our God never changes. What do you do with pride, preacher? I tell you what you do. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've been out here without joy. I'm sorry I've been out here without gladness. I'm sorry, Lord, that I'm not burdened for anybody except myself. I'm sorry, God, that I can eat my food, not even ask a blessing over it. Amen. I'm reminded of years ago, there was a young man, he and his wife got saved. 6 months later, they found themselves at Silver Dollar City. You're old if you know where Silver Dollar City is. Amen. They found themselves down at Silver Dollar City, sitting under a little old pinnacle there, eating a barbecue sandwich. And they had been asking the blessing ever since they got saved. And beloved, they sat down there, and she looked at him, and he looked at her, and they looked at their boy, and they started eating that barbecue sandwich. And they didn't ask a blessing. Well, you know what God did? He brought a family in, set them right down on the other side of the table. And they took hands and bowed their heads and thanked the God of heaven for their sandwich. And God rebuked him. Say amen. I'm telling you, we don't need to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ and the Christ that saved us. Amen. By His grace. What is it that's going to cure? We need to humble ourselves. There's some things here that we need to think about. The Bible said whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. A lot of times the reason our joy takes wings and flies away and our gladness takes wings and flies away is because we're not thinking right. We think we deserve this and we think we deserve that. Let me let you in on something. Every one of us deserves a place in hell. Amen. That's all we deserve. And I'm telling you, anything other than that is a blessing from God. God, beloved, listen, save the soul. And I like what the primitive sings. The only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart. Amen. I'm not going to hell, thank God, because Jesus went to Calvary and suffered for me and died. See, three things quickly under the cure. Number one, the goodness of God. You know, how long has it been since you... The Bible said the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Beloved, listen, it's not just sinners that need to repent. Have you read your Bible? Amen. Brother Colter brought a great message that last night on David. Oh, David needed to repent. You know what David was doing? He was saying, my gladness is gone and my spirit's broken. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You say, Pastor, I don't know about all that. Let me tell you something. He was a man after God's own heart. And if a man after God's own heart can get sideways with God, you and I can get sideways with God too. Amen. And if a man after God's own heart can get right with God, whoa, glory to God, you and I can get right with God too. Amen. We can get right with God. The goodness of God. Therefore God giveth thee the dew of heaven. Listen to this. And the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. You see, that plenteousness dried up in that field. But if you get to thinking on what there's still plenty of, amen, God will help you. The goodness of God. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. He hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. I know in the last few days we've had rain. Did you know that there are some of God's people that's complained about the rain? I'm going to tell you what, when it gets dry in July, you know what you'll want? You'll want some rain. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we ought to be happy when it's a raining, happy when it's a snowing. We ought to be happy because, listen to me. I know these climate change activists. You listen to me. I'm not worried about it. They somebody bigger than the government in charge of the rain. Amen? In charge of the sun. In charge of the moon. In charge of the ocean. Amen. Now we're out there in the ocean messing up. I mean, we're messing up the fishing. We're messing up the whales. Let me tell you something about man. Everything we put our finger on, we mess it up. Amen. Well, there's some things, beloved, just needs to be left up to God. Say amen. And I believe He'll take care of us. We need to realize that God has been good to you and to me. And that ought to lead us to repentance. Number two. Not only the goodness of God, but the grace of God. Our plentiful field is dried up. Now listen, the Bible said here, gladness is taken away, and joy out of the plentiful field. In the vineyards there's no singing, neither shall there be shouting. The treaders shall tread out no wine in their presses. I have made their vintage shouting to cease. I'm going to tell you, beloved, when pride comes in, if there is a shout, it's in the flesh. I'm going to tell you something about the flesh. The flesh don't want to shout. The flesh don't want to praise God. Let me tell you something about the flesh. The flesh realizes, the Bible said in Hebrews, it's a sacrifice of praise. The flesh has to be set aside in order to praise God. Say amen. And to realize the goodness of God. Listen to the grace of God. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. You say, Pastor, what are you going to say about that? Here it is. Your life may be full of sin. But why are you so happy? My life's full of sin. Because I know a God that's full of mercy. I know a God that's full of compassion. I know a God, beloved, that's got more mercy than you've got sin. Amen. I know a God that can forgive you. I know a God that can put some joy in you and put some gladness in you. Instead of dreading going to the house of God, I know a God that can make you look forward to it. That's the God I serve. Amen. The grace of God. But thou, O Lord, art full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Your heart full of pride? I know a God that's full of grace. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He's plenteous in mercy. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there's mercy, and Him is plenteous redemption. Thank God the plentiful field might be dried up. Thank God the gladness might be taken away. But thank God the sadness can be turned back into gladness. Amen. If we'll just look to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I said we need to get our heart off the field and get it on the Father. The goodness of the Lord. The grace of the Lord. But now I want to give you the last thing here in the message today. We need to think about the glory of the Lord. The glory of God. I want to say this. This field here is a field that where they grew grapes, they had vines, things had dried up, and their gladness was gone. I want to tell you this, they were under the judgment of God. Amen? But let me tell you about a field today that I think we do need to get our mind on. And I want you to think about this. All of this come out of that word plenty, plenteous, plentiful. God spoke to my heart, amen, when He led me to this verse of Scripture. Gladness is taken away and joy out of the plentiful field. You'd think if anybody in the world would have joy, it'd be somebody standing in the middle of a plentiful field. Somebody that, beloved, would have a shout would be somebody that's standing in the middle of a plentiful field. But the plentiful field dried up. Now the singing's gone, the shouting's gone. We need to get our heart on another field. And this is where many, many, many of God's people are failing. And they wonder why they have no joy. All they think about is themselves. All they think about is me and my four and no more. Are you listening to me? Beloved, listen to this field. It's not a physical field, but it's a spiritual field. We need to get our mind on that. And God will give us that joy back. Then saith He to His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. God said before that, Jesus told His disciples, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. I've been with preachers before, Brother Dale, and preachers say this to me, you just can't find nobody that's lost anymore. You know what I tell them, Brother Dale? Where are you looking? I'm not talking about pastor judging people. I'm talking about people telling me with their own mouth, I don't know Christ as Savior. I've never been born again. I don't know if I died today. I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. I'm not talking about me standing in judgment of people. But you see, the fact is, they just ain't got in the field. Never in the Word of God will you find where God told a sinner to go to church. Nowhere. You find it, you show it to me, and I apologize for the statement. But what you'll find is God told the church to go in the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. A lot of people have no joy because they're living in direct disobedience to the Word of God. Amen. Jesus sent them out there two by two, and they come back, they're rejoicing. Well, Lord, the spirits are made subject unto us. Jesus said, howbeit in this, rejoice not. He said, why in the world should we be out there in the field if we ain't going to rejoice? He said, but rather rejoice because your name's written in heaven. Glory to God, if we just get out there in the field and rejoice because our name's written in heaven, somebody might want what we have. But you go out there at the mully grubs, you have to get your lip up off your tie. Amen. You go out there with that long face. Amen. Some preacher said, look like a mule been eating sawbriars. Amen. But last time I checked, they kind of like them sawbriars. But amen. We need that joy back. We need that gladness back. Jesus said, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. That's what the Bible said. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You're going to run into somebody that's happy in the Lord. That's somebody that's obeying him. That's somebody, beloved, that's not living their life for themselves, but they're living their life for their Savior, living their life for others. Amen. And I'm telling you, you can get that gladness back. The Bible said, and gladness is taken away. Has your gladness been taken away? Let me say something this morning. Now listen, hear me well and understand this right here. I've heard people say, the devil stole my joy. I don't believe that. I don't believe that, Brother Rick. I believe when somebody's joy is gone, if they would examine it, they traded it for something else. They didn't nobody steal it from them. They traded it for something else. I no longer have time for the Word of God. Well, what did you trade that time for? I no longer have time to pray. I no longer have time to say a word to someone about Christ. What did you trade that time for? Amen. You traded it for something else. By the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Listen to me. I had a wonderful, wonderful time with my grandchildren this week. But I didn't trade revival time for it. Does that make any sense? God has blessed me with a good vehicle. And it needs to be waxed. And I'll get it done. But not in church. Not on Sunday. I left early, my grandchildren, because my grass was turning into a hayfield so I could get back and mow it. You say, what would most people do? I mow it on Sunday afternoon. You say, you've lost your mind, preacher. No, I found my Savior's mind. There's some things that's important to Him. That's why, beloved, I'm happy in Jesus. Amen. Because I know, beloved, listen, that it's important that we keep things in balance and we keep things in perspective. And we need to understand, beloved, that if that gladness is taken away and that joy is gone, there's a reason. You know what I love about the Holy Ghost, Brother Mike? He's already put his finger on it. Preacher don't even have to put his finger on it. The Spirit of God. It may not have nothing to do with grandchildren. It may not have nothing to do with the grass. It may not have nothing to do with the truck. But everybody knows what they traded it for. Let me tell you something. You trade the joy of the Lord for anything, you lost. That's a bad trade. Amen. Years ago, Brother Wayne, my grandpa, he would cut firewood to make him some money. Then he got to where he couldn't cut firewood, so he'd walk a road with a set of them pinchers and pick up pop cans. Put them in a bag, make him some money. He got to where Brother Wayne, he wasn't physically able to do that, but he could still drive. So he got him a cigar box. Anybody know what a cigar box is? About that deep, about that wide. He got him a cigar box. It had rings, watches, all kinds of stuff in there. You know what I mean? Knives. And he'd walk up to you and he'd say, you see anything you like, turtle? Amen. One day he brought down there to the work where I worked, and there was a pocket watch in there, brother, that I had never seen one like it. I mean, I know they're there now, but I've never seen one. You could see the guts working on the inside of it. You look right through the face of the watch at the guts of the watch. Everybody know what I'm talking about? The guts were working right in the middle there. I said, Grandpa, I like that watch. I said, what would you have to have for that watch? He said, son, I'd have to have $35 for that watch. And, I mean, it was unusual for me to have $35 in my pocket at the time. But I did, and it was more about my grandpa than about the watch. And I bought it. He said, well, Dodd Byrne, that was his byword. Dodd Byrne, if I'd known you was going to buy it, I'd have said more than $35. That's what he said. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Grandpa was a wheeler and a dealer. His name wasn't John Dockery, but that's what he was, Brother John, a wheeler and a dealer. Oh, Brother John, he big time in that wheeling and dealing. Amen. I've been over at his house this week. Amen. I even went away from there with a nice piece. Amen. Didn't cost me a dime. Amen. Ain't that good? God's good. Amen. But when you trade your joy and you trade your gladness for anything in this world, you're the loser. You know what this world needs more of? More people at the Eastman. More people at school. More people at Walmart. More people. Last week I seen a catalog from Montgomery Ward's. Can you believe that? I hadn't seen that word in years. Amen. And this lady's still getting a catalog from Montgomery Ward's. Amen. I don't know where Montgomery Ward's is. I know that's where my mom bought my dad's first 30-30 years ago. They had a gun counter. I would have liked it then. Amen. But anyway, I'm just telling you, whatever you traded it for, you come out on the short end of the stick. Say amen. I was reading a fella's ad yesterday, and his ad said this. I think it was a pistol that he had for sale. And he said, may trade, but it'll be for my benefit. I thought of you, Brother John. Amen. I might trade, but it'll be for my benefit if I do. Well, let me tell you something. You trade your joy, it'll never be for your benefit. Not only that, it won't be for anybody around you's benefit. God needs us to be in our field full of joy, full of gladness, thankful, amen, thankful for the things of God, thankful for the blessings of God that come down from on high. Where's your joy this morning? Have you traded it? Do you still have it? Do you need another dose? Amen. You see, the Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Not Brill Cream, little dab will do you. Again, I spoke to the older generation, the younger generation. Chance, by any chance, do you know what Brill Cream is? That's what I thought. Amen. He's 20-some years old. Brother Rick, you know what Brill Cream is, don't you, brother? Amen. Amen. I thought so. That means you're old and he's young. That means me and you both old, Brother Rick, and he's young. Amen. Brill Cream, that's some stuff. Randall, you know what it is, don't you? You put it in your hair. It makes your hair. I know what some of you are thinking. Pastor, you need some. Amen. I'm going to tell you that Brother Chris don't need any. Amen. He's good shape. Amen. Amen. Where's your joy? Have you traded it? You traded it off for something else? Your field dried up? Or is your field full of joy, full of gladness? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you today. Lord, one good thing we can know of that came out of Moab, that was Ruth. Even though there was a time, Lord, when the Moab was under the judgment of God, Lord, Naomi brought Ruth home with her. God, would you help us to live in such a way that we could bring somebody home with us? God, I know today that people are lost. People are unconcerned many times. God's people, Lord, are hurting. God, I pray today that you'd give us that joy unspeakable and full of glory, that we might go into whatever field you've placed us in and lift up your holy name. Let's stand together. We're going to sing this morning. If you need this altar, I'm going to ask you to come. I'm going to ask you to come.